This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Chun-Li and Philip. We are turning our attention now to Twitter. Elon Musk is never one to shy away from making headlines, but in the past 2 weeks, his interest in acquiring social media platform Twitter has taken a life of its own. First, of course, there was the surprise accumulation of a 9.2% stake, making him the largest shareholder for a time. I think Vanguard has overtaken his share for now. In turn, Twitter then offered him a seat on the board of directors, which he turned down.
Then things came to a boil when Musk made an official offer for $54.20 per share to take Twitter private, valuing the company at $43 billion. In typical humble style, he said that he is the right person who can unlock the extraordinary potential of this communication platform.
However, Twitter shares have taken a tumble in the wake of Elon Musk's offer, and it is being seen as a hostile takeover by the Twitter board, which has adopted a poison pill provision to ward off the takeover. So can Elon Musk succeed in his takeover plans? And what's the plan B if he doesn't?
For some thoughts on this, we speak to Daniel Ives, Managing Director of Wedbush Securities. Dan, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, the last time we spoke to you, Elon Musk had just turned down his seat on the board, or maybe the board seat just came into fruition. But, you know, since then, so many developments on this space. What was your reaction to his takeover offer for Twitter?
Yeah, and look, and I think this is get out the popcorn time. I think there's going to be a lot more twists and turns ahead even this week. I mean, my view from a board perspective, they tried to play nice in the sandbox. Musk didn't want any of it. And ultimately, this went from friendly to a Game of Thrones. It's a hostile takeover now. And right now, Twitter, with the poison pill, is basically searching the globe for a second offer. Just that needs to happen for Musk not to buy Twitter.
So just help us understand a bit about this poison pill provision, the defense tactic that the board has taken, right? Can you just give us a bit more color to that?
Sure. I mean, the poison pill is a defensive measure. What it essentially does is it buys the Twitter board time to find a buyer. What the poison pill does is if anyone buys more than 15% of the company, and right now Musk owns 9.2%, it would get triggered, which essentially would mean every shareholder could buy the stock at a 50% value. It would make it prohibitively more expensive. That's what poison pills ultimately are. They're defensive measures. But again, the point here, it just gives them time to find the second buyer. That's what we believe behind the scenes they're doing right now.
So if they're going to spend some time to look for a second buyer, does that mean that the offer price is not attractive enough? So the question is the offer price fair, and how likely are shareholders going to take this offer?
Well, I think Wall Street's skeptical about the deal because, of course, Musk, as part of this deal, the financing behind it, he'd be using collateral of SpaceX and Tesla, you know, of his shares. We've also seen, you know, with Musk's antics in Tesla in terms of going private, the stream continues to be unconvinced about this. So we believe the deal, ultimately, if Musk walked away, the stock's down 30%. Some would want to look at where Twitter was a year ago. I don't view that as the right comparison. So now it's, can they get a bid above $54.20 from private equity? And that's going to be the key going into this week. Does a private equity bidder emerge? Just importantly, if they don't emerge, then basically Twitter's board back against the wall. They either have to accept the Musk bid, and we also believe Musk could partner with another private equity to potentially bring this up to $60 a share.
Before we, I guess, delve into all the different scenarios and permutations that could come through, I mean, could you talk us through how Elon Musk is expected to fund his offer? He will need about $40 billion to acquire the remaining 91% of Twitter shares. How do you think he would do that?
Sure. So I think about half of it will come in debt. They'll probably get about 15 to 20 billion from banks. And I don't think that would be an issue in terms of debt financing that. The other cash, Musk today only has about, I mean, of course, relative to being the richest person in the world, I think it's a little over 3 billion. he would need to use his Tesla and SpaceX stock as collateral. That's how he'll get that cash. The rest would have to be funded based on the collateral of SpaceX and Tesla, which also is something that Musk needs to detail, because right now the street remains skeptical that he'll go down that path. That's why the stock traded down on Thursday, even though there was a bid for Tesla for Twitter.
So let's just talk about this whole best and final offer that Elon Musk has made. But then he also then later said there was this plan B. So are you thinking plan B is this scenario where he partners with another private equity firm? Or are there other alternative plan Bs or Cs or Ds in his, you know, rabbit hat?
And there's probably an E and an F
yeah.
And a G. And as you said, Musk is just a very humble individual, so
right.
I'm sure there's no other plan. So, look, so let's go through the likely scenarios. One would be partnering with another private equity firm to get to $60 a share. That would be viewed as a lot more credible from the streets. The second would be 1980s corporate raider style hostile takeover. Now, in that point, he'd have to go for a tender, trying to basically convince shareholders to tender their shares to him. That would be an elongated process, and that's something that's probably least likely. I believe the most likely is that he partners up with another private equity firm to get this to a $60 bid and probably split it down the middle, where, you know, I think that's something the street would be a lot more convinced that it's a real bid.
I mean, in the end, right, Dan, is this really a business deal or an ego trip? Because fundamentally, you know, we've heard the stories about him wanting to look at Twitter, remove the filters and such, right? So then when you talk about the options, would he then look at shareholder activism, you know, especially on the conservative side, to help him move this forward? You know, what are the, how does the intentions of this deal drive the scenarios?
Sure. I mean, look, it starts with freedom of speech, right? I mean, that fundamentally is a big part of why he's going about this to start. He believes that he could change social media. Now, look, it's hard to argue in terms of what he's done with SpaceX, Tesla, and PayPal, right? In terms of whatever he's touched has turned to gold. But here, I think it started off as a freedom of speech, and now it's morphed into, especially with the board situation, it's morphed into he wants to own Twitter, take it private, and ultimately, look, I mean, let's just be clear. Twitter will no longer be a public company. In other words, one way or another, they either sell to Musk or they sell to a competing bid. The board can just shut the lights off and go under the covers like this never happened, because they're fiduciaries of a public company. So I think that's just an important point, where now the story really changes because of the Musk bid.
So with Musk's offer, it seems to have opened up the floodgate to a lot more other interest in Twitter. But why is there such interest in Twitter? Is it because of undervaluation, or is there something else we're not seeing?
But the problem is that there's not interest, because outside of Musk, it's going to be very difficult to get private equity to go after Twitter, because it's not a cash flow machine. It's not a subscription model. And it's part of why the stock's underperformed, is because in the social media arms race, they've been using that to Instagram and Facebook and others. So that's why right now, for Twitter's board, it's a nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, pick your horror movie. Because their choices, Musk is their boss, and he ultimately buys Twitter, or find the second bidder. That's why they did the poison pill. But again, this week, the second bidder needs to emerge. Otherwise, clock strikes midnight.
And when is that midnight? What is the next step here? What are the key deadlines we should be looking for now to basically guide us into how this saga will end or not?
Next step, if we don't have a second bidder emerge by the end of this week, then it becomes dark times for Twitter, because at that point, they could either fight Musk. Musk will fight the poison pill through court, and then he likely does a tender sort of proxy battle, and basically draws us out. And also, I just want to make a point. Oracle acquired PeopleSoft 2003, 2004. Probably one of the most drawn-out hostile takeovers in the last 30 years. Guess who drove that? Larry Ellison. Tesla board member, one of Musk's best friends. So the point is, this is not just Musk himself doing this. And it's just important to understand the ramifications of what's going here, because this becomes also a political firestorm between left and right. And that's what you're seeing take place in terms of Twitter.
Dan, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Daniel Ives, Managing Director of Wedbush Securities, giving us his take on the latest twists and turns in the saga at Twitter, with Elon Musk vying to take over the company and take it private, essentially. We can see the board fighting back on this. How it's going to play out is anyone's guess at this point.
But I think markets didn't like it. Both on Tesla side and Twitter side, if you see share price for Tesla, it was like 1,150 in this height. Now it's at 985. Twitter also under a lot of pressure. It used to be about $51 per share per pop. Now it's only 48. So I think markets really don't like this news, actually.
I think there's a lot of queries as per where, or is he serious about this, and how is he going to fund the acquisition? Because I think in 2018, he also did a similar sort of a mention that he's going to take Tesla private, but he actually has no funding for it.
Well, in that story with the saga with Tesla going private, he really got into a lot of hot soup with the SEC,
exactly.
Yeah, over how he communicated with this. So I'm really interested to see how this whole thing does pan out.
And there is an investor lawsuit against him, right? Because
yes.
of the tweets that he made that made people think that, oh, is he going to take Tesla private? So Elon Musk is a very mercurial figure, and his record on Twitter, his social media record on Twitter, is pretty controversial at best, you know?
Yes.
Even though he brings enormous value in the sense that his millions of followers will, you know, follow whatever he says, retweet it, respond to it. So he does create a lot of marketing, a lot of attention for Twitter. But whether he'd also be good in the position of somebody who's running it, I have serious questions about that.
I mean, think about the billionaires in the United States, right? Many of them actually, you know, as part of their legacy and move on, they buy newspapers. George Bezos with Washington Post, so on and so forth. We've seen many of that. So is he really taking it to the next level, right? Maybe not newspaper this time, but let me just buy a social media communication platform instead.
I mean, that's a really interesting take, right? But I guess whether he can actually make it profitable, whether he can make money out of it, that's also a question, because how Twitter monetizes itself, it's not as lucrative as, say, Facebook or other social media platforms like
that's
TikTok.
Right.
I think Twitter's always been in this kind of limbo.
That's right.
Of how to make money.
Because of the lack of free cash flow that was mentioned also by Dan Ives, that is a little bit less lucrative compared to the other competitors. But the question is also, what exactly does Elon wants to do after he takes it private?
Yeah.
When he said it's for on the basis of freedom of speech, how exactly you want to do that?
Yeah, but I think that's the big question, right? He wants to, but I think because Dan also was very good, he was saying that it's not necessarily not an ego trip, but also a business element. And I heard Elon actually was thinking of moving the revenue model for Twitter from advertising to subscription model.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's his play, right, and his frustration with the group that they haven't moved fast enough with their blue premium product.
Well, a lot of questions on this. We will no doubt be following this very closely as the situation unfolds. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.